This week, the Working Tools podcast is on the road at the Conference of Grandmasters of North America, being held right here in Seattle, Washington. So our format's a little different. We're going to have a series of short interviews with the attendees. We hope you enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, brethren all, welcome to the Working Tools podcast, a casual conversation around Freemasonry. First, it's important to note that our thoughts and opinions are our own and do not reflect those of our Grand Lodge or respective craft or concordant bodies. Please connect with us and ask questions via our website at theworkingtoolspodcast.com.
So in continuing our interviews for day two of the Working Tools podcast at the Conference of Grandmasters, we have Right Worshipful Brother Clint Brown, who is the Grand Secretary of the Grand Lodge of Washington.
Oh, and his boss is lingering behind him.
Hey, well, come on in, come on in. And the Grand Master here.
And, yeah.
Here, pull up a chair. We can get you another chair. We can only do one at a time.
My audio quality is not as good for two. Sorry.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you got to come.
we don't want to miss any of the pearls of wisdom.
For sure. For sure.
So we were just talking about as the grand secretary of the host jurisdiction, did you have a whole lot of extra organizing to do, or does this organization sort of run itself?
Well, there was a lot of things that the team, not just me, but the team had. In addition to what was for the Conference of Grand Masters, we also had the Conference of Grand Secretaries, and for that there was a lot on my part, at least for the conference tours. That was the Conference of Grand Secretary tour yesterday that required a lot of work on my part.
Is it like Lodge, where the Conference of Grand Secretaries really runs the Conference of Grand Masters? Is that
no? Good try, though.
We just had one Grandmaster on, and he had two from his Grand Secretary, he had two definitions of what PGM mean. One was power gone man, the other one was power gaining man. Well, yeah, what do you expect from a past Grand Secretary?
Well, I learned, I've learned several things at this conference, and apparently there are some jurisdictions that a requirement to be a Grand Secretary is you have to have been a Grand Master. So I have not attained that honor, and I thought that was rather interesting that some jurisdictions have in their code that you, before you can be make yourself available for the position of Grand Secretary, you have to be a Grand Master, have to have been a Grand Master.
That's interesting. So you've been a bunch of these, I assume.
I was trying to figure this out. So this is my sixth year. The one for the original one, which was supposed to have been in 2021, was canceled due to COVID. So we had a conference that year, but it was on Zoom, and it was very truncated. I mean, it was like 2 or 3 hours on Zoom. So if you want to count that, then this is my sixth conference, but really it's my fifth conference.
But obviously the first one you've been on the organizing end of?
That would be correct, yes.
So what are the Conference of Grand Secretaries? What do you do other than try and tell the Grand Masters what to do?
We don't do that. So, see, I'm wise to your questions here. We discuss topics that are pertinent to our jurisdictions, but also our specific area of work, right? One of the things that's on the agenda to talk about that I'm extremely interested in, because we do it here in Washington State, is an electronic dues card. And most jurisdictions are going to electronic dues cards, and because it simplifies things, also greatly, greatly reduces the cost, and the information is immediate, right? I can give somebody a dues card at the beginning of the year, and they may not be a Mason in good standing, but they still have a dues card that says, "Oh, he's in good standing until December the 31st." an electronic dues card if the Grand Master so chooses to suspend me today, which he may, it is as soon as that information is put into the database, then it will reflect that I am no longer in good standing and I can't visit a lodge or lodges.
Yes, I, as a lodge secretary, I very much appreciate the electronic dues cards. Not when I started, we had to receive the paper ones, then we had to stamp them and sign them and everything. And this is definitely way better than that. And I was surprised the other day. I follow another jurisdiction on Facebook, and they were going to plastic dues cards, which we had done a few years ago. And there was all sorts of kerfuffles on the Facebook about that. And I was just thinking, plastic dues cards? That's so 2010.
Well, and we have with the plastic dues cards, you know, there were good things about the plastic dues cards, but there were a lot of negatives about the plastic dues cards. And so what we found is, and the other thing that we have done in Washington, which is pretty, I'm proud of from the standpoint of, I think we were one of the first jurisdictions to do it. I knew that there was going to be pushback on just a complete saying, everybody, you have to use a virtual dues card, right? So we created the option of where those members who want something physically to carry around can print out their own dues cards. But as part of that, one of the things that we would get a lot of requests for are letters of introduction. So if I'm traveling to, let's say, New Zealand or you know, for vacation in the summer, we would get probably 10 to 15 requests per week for letters of introduction from brothers who were wanting to visit foreign Grand Lodges. So as part of the process, I created the letter. I didn't create the letter. It was already, we already had that created. I created the form. To be part of the page that you would print out with your dues card, and it's a letter of introduction, and it says, "Very Worshipful Brother David Colbeth is a member," and it would put your home lodge down, so he would be a member of King Solomon Lodge, and is in good standing. Please, you know, accept him and treat him with all the Masonic courtesies. That, you know, you would a brother traveling from another jurisdiction. So that's worked out quite well because it's cut down on the number of letters that we have to prepare each week and send out. And it's also helpful because some brothers, I had a brother that came in with the plastic dues cards, and he said, "I'm leaving to go to Australia, and I lost my plastic dues card, and I need a." I want to visit some lodges down there. And I said, "Well, when are you leaving?" And he said, "Tomorrow." And I was like, "Well, sorry, we don't print them here and we have to order them and everything." And so that solves that problem as well. If you lose your dues card, you can just print out another one.
I was thinking about the transition the other day. I'm not sure how we got on dues cards as a topic, but here we are. The transition from the paper ones to where we are now with the electronic ones. And I came to the conclusion that the plastic ones were almost a necessary transition there. I think if you had tried to flip the switch from paper to virtual, that you would have gotten a lot more resistance. I think this was an easier way to...
I think you're absolutely right. And we're looking at, you know, some other ways to move the Grand Lodge into the 21st century. And part of... that's part of being here is being able to meet with other fellow colleagues, fellow Grand Secretaries, other Grand Lodges, and talk about what they're doing and their ideas. Here's how we do it. Well, that's a great idea. Well, here's what we do. Well, that's a great idea. And we bring those back, hopefully, to our jurisdictions and implement those. To better benefit not only the secretaries but the lodges, and one of my big deals is how can I reduce costs to the lodges and to the Masons, and we discuss the cost of things continue to go up, the cost of everything continues to go up, And there's nothing we can do about that, but we can find ways of not spending funds unnecessarily when there are avenues to be able to cut costs.
So I'm certain you have important things to do as Grand Secretary and hosting this fine event. So thank you very much for your time. We appreciate you coming and talking to us.
Well, I thank you. Thank you, gentlemen, for doing this. And I look forward to hearing all of your interviews when they
must
are published.
Sad life. We're looking forward to
thank
this.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So on today's episode...
We're back at the Conference of Grandmasters.
Exactly. We're still back at the Conference of Grandmasters. So in today's interview at the Conference of Grandmasters here in Seattle, we have very worshipful brother Zane McCune, who gave the keynote speaker yesterday morning at the conference. So, Zane, welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate connecting with you guys again.
Absolutely.
So what sorts of things did you talk about?
Well, first of all, it was a real privilege to do that. And not often does someone have the opportunity to address the constituency of Masonic leadership out of an entire continent, and given the opportunity, I thought, geez, my message should be, I should probably say something kind of important. But you know, in the first half, I guess for me, one of the things that's always been important is that we identify. There's so many lodges out there that are having a hard time building momentum, and they seem to think it's a membership problem. And not to make it sound like it's a nuance, but I think it's a retention problem. It's not that men aren't finding lodges. It's that when they find the lodge, for whatever reason, they get disenfranchised, maybe get bored, and they leave. And so the solution to that isn't to allow more members in. It's to retain the members that do come in. Men who find a great quality lodge want to be a part of that. So that was the first part of it. Spent a little time talking about how lodges can deliver the kinds of things that men really need in this day and age, where men are finding themselves maybe disconnected from society, maybe finding it difficult for them to take their proper station in life and in society. They're feeling lonely. And it's not just that those are a place to, you know, address those kinds of issues within a Masonic lodge, but make real connections with real people and build your own, you know, personal temple, if you will, so that you can take your proper place in society as a man.
Yeah. Like our lunch, you're talking about the motto of the Grand Lodge of New York this year, give meaning to men or whatever. How?
Yeah.
Give men meaning.
Give men meaning. And I just think that meaning is such a great word to describe it, because it's not one specific thing, and yet it encapsulates what things are, you know, what men are sort of needing in their life. They need meaning and they need responsibility, and when they have those things, they begin to build on themselves,
and it opens the door for the opportunity to say, well, what does meaning mean? What
right.
is meaning about? What does that encompass? And they can dive into the more to study and learn and try and develop themselves and try to develop each other. I think that we were talking with, I think it was Right Worshipful, I don't remember which one. Anyway, we've had so many great
interviews. So many conversations.
They were talking about how we're rough stones and we're kind of rubbed. And I remember back to a story I heard from the Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple, and how he had a neighbor that said, hey, let me show you something, how this works. And so they went in the backyard and they picked up these rough stones, they put it into the tumbler, and they came back and said, come back in 3 days, whatever. And so they went and, you know, mowed the lawns, whatever, and he came back in a few days, and he pulled out these stones, and they were all these polished stones. And it was the idea of the action of this friction of these rough stones rubbing up against each other that made them into these perfect stones or these polished stones. And I think that's what, when you dive into a discussion on something or learn about something, it's the opportunity to have discussions back and forth and to kind of beat each other up, if you will, or rough each other up and try to develop ourselves into these perfect stones.
You know, I think of the action that you're describing when we get to the point in our ritual where we talk about harmony. Harmony has a special definition for me as a musician. And you don't have harmony unless you have different voices all at the same time. And it's when those different voices are happening, that's when you get harmony. And so you can have those different voices in the lodge and from that create something that's even more beautiful than if it was just one singular voice. So you don't need everybody in the lodge to all agree. That harmony is how do we treat each other that allows us to express different voices and yet all get along and make something that's even more beautiful than if it was one voice. And that's just the kind of characteristic that needs to be built in men to take to the outer world in order to effectuate change. And that's what they're looking for. And that was kind of maybe my third point to my keynote address the other day was, it's really great that masonry in the abstract does these things. But unless your lodge is doing those things, you're really not offering what Freemasonry has to offer. It's just platitudes. We're saying it in an abstract that Freemasonry has that. But unless you're doing it, it's not happening in your lodge.
And if you're not doing it, what should you do? You know, to quote from our previous the article that we talked about and to quote from your speech, bring the line to the standard. Don't bring the standard back. Don't retreat. Advance.
Yeah.
Look forward.
Right. I loved that story. And, you know, to me, it was also kind of brought up in the keynote with aiming much higher. It was the same, you know, same vain story is that we don't succeed. We fail in life because we aim too low and hit instead of worrying about aiming too high and missing. We aim too low. We pat ourselves on the back for doing a great job. I'd like to encourage everybody here that to aim higher. We have the opportunity. We have the ability. We just need to aim higher.
So is this your first conference, Grandmasters?
Technically, it's my second. I went back in 2015. We were in British Columbia.
That was a plant. I was there. I knew.
Yeah, you drugs up there. We had a good time. The families were there, but we were also kind of somewhat newer Masons. Yeah. We weren't quite sure what sessions were we allowed in past the door or not. So we just sort of hovered around the Grandmaster greatness in the lobby area and had a little lunch, and I'm sure came up with all sorts of solutions to all the world's problems. But
I remember wandering around the lobby, and I sat down to this lone Mason was sitting on a couch, and I just sat down and started talking. He wasn't feeling well, and so he kind of wanted to be alone, but you know, he enjoyed the company. It was Sean Martin from Vancouver. He and I have remained friends. It was a great opportunity just running into him and to know him him over the years as he's gotten married and has kids now and new job and all that. So
Well, and look at this. I mean, you know, all these years later, you guys have the whole Working Tools podcast set up here, interviewing people, and we've come a little ways since that first conference.
Well, actually, that sounds like a good description for the podcast. People want to be left alone, and we keep talking.
Well, thank you so much for joining us for just a few minutes.
Yeah, it was my pleasure.
Awesome. Thanks.
Glad you guys are here.
All right.
Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye now.
Yep.